This episode is brought to you by Sterling Soap Company. Fellas, you've heard the phrase, look good, feel good, right? But why not add smell good to that too? That's where Sterling Soap Company comes in. First, Sterling Soap is 100% natural and has a wide variety of bath soaps, shave soaps, beard balm, lotions, and cologne. Second, there's a scent just for you. How about burgundy? Yeah, it's more than a color. The Sterling Soap folks blend natural essential oils with hints of mahogany, golden amber, and sandalwood. Or how about D503, an intensely masculine scent inspired by Legend by Mont Blanc. And third, you will feel good about the price. For just a little more than you'd pay at the grocery store, Sterling Soap will leave you feeling clean, refreshed, and ready for whatever's next. Give Sterling Soap a try today. Visit sterlingsoap.com. This day in sports history. It's March 8th, and on this day in 1930, Babe Ruth signed the world's biggest sports contract and had one of the all-time great responses to a reporter's question. Ruth had just turned 35 a month before and was coming off a year where he hit 345 with a league-leading 46 home runs. It was the fourth straight year he had led the league in that category, and that closed out his contract, where he was making $70,000 a year. But here in 1930, not even 6 months past the Wall Street crash that plunged the nation and subsequently the world into what would become known as the Great Depression, where unemployment would surge to about 25% at its height, and wages would fall by more than 40% by 1933, Ruth held out for a pay increase. But the thing is, he was worth it, and New York Yankees owner Jacob Rupert knew it. Since bringing Ruth over from the Red Sox, he had led the league in home runs 8 times, led the Yankees to 3 World Series titles, and made the team into a popular and profitable one after being considered also-rans before he got there. Also, remember that professional ball players didn't have a lot of bargaining power on their side other than holding out during contract negotiation. Free agency would not exist for another 40 years. And so, on this day, Rupert and Ruth sat down and put ink to paper on a 2-year, $160,000 contract, paying him $80,000 per year, making him the richest athlete on the planet. Yankees general manager Ed Barrow said, "Nobody will ever be paid more than Ruth," which, of course, is laughable now, but at the time, seemed about right. Consider that 5 years later, Barrow would sign Lou Gehrig's 2-year contract extension with the Yankees for just $31,000 per year after he won the American League Triple Crown. It was not until Joe DiMaggio's 1949 contract for $100,000 a year that Barrow would be proved wrong. But back to Ruth. After signing his name to the contract, he was asked by a reporter why he should be paid more than President Herbert Hoover, whose salary at the time was $75,000 per year, to which Ruth famously replied, "Why not? I had a better year than he did." Ruth would go on to prove his worth, leading the league in homers and walks for the 2 years of his contract while providing some much-needed entertainment for a country mired in an economic morass. Understanding the optics and the economic situation the country was in, he would take a pay cut the next time around in 1932. Also on this day, in 1971, it was the fight of the century as Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier fought in Madison Square Garden. It was the first title fight in history that featured 2 undefeated boxers who had been or were champions. Ali had been stripped of his titles because of his refusal to enter the draft to fight in Vietnam. Frazier was the heavyweight champ who stepped into that void of Ali's vacated belts with wins over Buster Mathis and Jimmy Ellis. In front of a sold-out crowd of more than 20,000 at the Garden and millions more watching on closed-circuit screens all over the globe, this fight lived up to its billing. It went the full 15 rounds, with Frazier winning in a unanimous decision. And in 1936, the first automobile race in Daytona was run, with cars driving on a 3-mile-long beach and road course. It was fairly chaotic, with passing nearly impossible in the beachy turns, scoring issues leading to disputes, and the economic loss for the city of Daytona of more than $20,000, which, again, here in the Depression, was a tough pill to swallow. The race was stopped after 75 laps, though it was slated to go 78. Milt Marion was declared the first winner, though that was disputed by the guys who finished second and third. The man who finished fifth that day was Bill France Sr., the man who would assume control of the race 2 years later and then go on to create NASCAR in 1948. And today's non-sports weird fact. Nutmeg is a hallucinogen. It takes a lot, but it is. But, you know, just take our word for it. Don't try that at home or anything. That's all for today. I'll have more tomorrow on This Day in Sports History. This has been an original Thrive Suite production.
Hey there, Sports History fans. We've got some exciting news to share with you. Six of our podcasts from the Sports History Network have made it to the final round of voting for the prestigious Sports Podcast Awards. Here are their shows and the categories. Historically Speaking Sports and This Day in Sports History are both competing for Best Sports Talk Podcast. No Nonsense Old School Weightlifting History is in the running for Best Fitness, Health, and Well-Being Podcast. When Football Was Football is up for Best Sports Documentary Podcast. Wrestling with Heels On has entered the ring for Best Wrestling Podcast. And Shoulder Roll Virtual Boxing is fighting for the title for Best Combat Sports Podcast. Now, of course, we need your help to take home the championship for each of these awesome shows. All you gotta do is head over to sportshistorynetwork.com/vote, cast your vote for your favorite shows, or better yet, all six of them. Again, every vote counts, and we gotta show the world how much sports history really matters. So thank you for your support and making Sports History Network the headquarters for sports yesteryear. But again, don't wait. You got to go vote now. That's over at sportshistorynetwork.com/vote.